John chapter 10 in verse 32. So nice to be in the house of the Lord this morning. All right, so let's look at John chapter 10 in verse 32 to 41. So I'll read 32, you come in 33 until we get to 41. I read 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. If thou hast been here, or had been here, my brother will not have died. Verse 33, everybody. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, John 11, please, not 10. All right, so I'll read verse 32 again. John 11. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Verse 33, everybody. Aha. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35. Jesus wept. Verse 36. Then said the Jews, behold, see how he loved them. Verse 37. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Verse 39. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Verse 40. Jesus said unto her, said not I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou wouldest see the glory of God. Verse 41. Then took away the stone from the place. Hallelujah. You know the end of the story. Jesus eventually said to Lazarus, come forth. And what happened to Lazarus? He came forth. Father, we pray for the blessing on your work this morning, in Jesus' mighty name. All right, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I thought we had a wonderful time on Wednesday. We began talking about building healthy relationships. And I will want to please crave indulgence, in case you are not here on Wednesday, to get the CD. And make sure you join us on Wednesday as we continue talking about the 12 major principles of building healthy relationships. Generally, how far you will go in life is dependent on the quality of relationships you build. Trust me, if you look around you, you don't need to look too far. You will realize that people have made a major difference in your life. People make the difference. People make the difference. People make the difference. If you look at your life, you have taken one step because someone encouraged you. Someone facilitated it. Somebody inspired you. If you look around you, you will see something that points to someone, indicative of the fact that people make the difference. Those who value relationship increase in wealth and worth. Those who value relationship, they increase in wealth and in worth. Those who don't value relationships, they decrease in wealth and in work. If the people around your life in the last 10 years have not changed, it is very obvious that that is the reason why you've not made any other significant progress. Nothing shifts until people come in. People shift the balance of equation in people's lives. What God will do, God will do. And what God will do, God will do through men. You can't move beyond where you are now until somebody else comes into your life. I did make mention of the fact that relationships are like elevators. They either take you up or they bring you down. You can't get a job in Abuja. You can't get a job. Neither can you get a contract in Abuja. Trust me. If somebody does not endorse you, somebody holds the biro that can change your life. God has the power to change your life, but he has put it in the biro of somebody in an office somewhere. If you disregard men, you may not enjoy the benefits of God. Men make the difference. People make the difference. I want you to think by any stretch of the imagination. Mention the name of somebody who's been blessed. And if you trace it down to the root where things began to change, you will hear that he met somebody. Somebody mentioned him to somebody. Or somebody saw him somewhere. Or somebody recommended him. Somebody is always connected to somebody's lifting. And if you hear that somebody is suffering or is beginning to decline, the person also met with somebody. If you hear that people go bankrupt, somebody met them and introduced them to a business that led to bankruptcy. Somebody became a multi-millionaire. Somebody introduced him, marketed something that transformed his life. One of the most respected women in Nigeria today, and I hope that someday we'll bring her because we have access to the one that they call the billionaire from Africa, who now has made Oprah Winfrey to look like a baby, you know. And we're proud to have that coming from Nigeria. And she's a child of God, by the way. Amen. This is a woman who happens to be a tailor. She was nothing but a tailor, committed to her job until somebody who had benefited from her service. Because life is a series of connections. Please, I'm not speaking English. I'm speaking principles. If you value them, you will move ahead in life. I'm not in a rush. If I prophesy money into your life, trust me, because you don't value relationships, you will lose it. I'm sure you know there's a common language going on around the world now. In the business circle, they call it value chain. Is that all right? Value what? That everything revolves around chains. You are here today looking the way you are looking because of a chain of values that people have put it together. Somebody swept the ground. Somebody cleaned the chair. Somebody fixed the microphones. Now somebody also got your suit Somebody got your shirt. Somebody did something. Listen, you are an expression of several people's contribution. Are you listening to me? You are not a single wonder. So stop thinking you are one special wonder that came from somewhere. You didn't manufacture the suit you're wearing. The shoe on your feet, you didn't do it. Your name is not on any shoe. The toothpaste that brought you, amen, not the toothpaste. I know you, and I know your name is not on any toothpaste. Somebody got that for you. So you are this wonderful because of several people's contribution. Look at my choir looking fantastic. Trust me, because of somebody. So life is a series of connections. And those who value people rise fast. Haven't you wondered how that the most educated are not the most celebrated? Oh, come on, can I bring it home? Haven't you wondered how that as you look at the list of some of the most celebrated billionaires in the world, how many of them are first class people? Because aptitude, A-P-T-I, aptitude does not guarantee what attitude will guarantee. In the world of relationship, you trade with attitude. In the intellectual world, you trade with aptitude. That is why people sometimes who have high aptitude can be very arrogant. And that's why they end up in the classroom. Now, I'm not saying all lecturers have arrogance. If a lot of people, they have great attitude and great aptitude. And God has called them to teach. But there are some people that can't go far in life because they have high aptitude and low attitude. And maybe I should quickly alert you. People will open doors for you because they like your attitude and not just your aptitude. Why do we have ladies who have great beauty but are not getting married? Because they have great charm but less character. And in the world of relationship, you trade with character and not with charm. Charm can open a door for you. Character will give you a seat. Do you hear what I just said right now? Push up. God can open a door for you. Your character can slam it close. Lack of character has been found to be more responsible for people's poverty and lack than lack of gift, lack of talent, and lack of ability. In fact, the most gifted who are not having character have been found not to make progress because of the absence of attitude. If you will listen to the sage, even one of the most celebrated apostles by the name Paul, he said, knowledge puffs up. That's exactly what aptitude does. It puffs you up. That's why my simple maxim is this. The more you know, the lower you should go. Or the lower you should go. The more you begin to get exposed to the world of knowledge, just begin to humble yourself. Choose to humble. If you know more, bend low. David said, your stooping down has made me great. David said, God, who is omniscience, all knowing, is it for that God to make meaningful impact in my life, that big God, who occupies the heavens and the earth is his footstool, he said, that God has to stoop low, because the one that knows more should come down to those who lose less. I gave you an example here how that Jesus Christ came to the mountaintop, and there he prayed, interacted with the world of divinity, had communion with the Almighty. But when it was time to relate with his disciples, the Bible says he came to the plain. He came down to the plain and interacted with them at their level. I'm talking about the power of attitude, particularly in relationship, and the power of attitude in relationship. One can take you up, the other can bring you down. And so this woman called Miss Alakija, who happens to be a billionaire today, was trading as a tailor, and somewhere along the line, somebody spoke to her and said, "Man, there's an opportunity in the oil industry. Tailor, oil industry, that's what you call a quantum leap." What qualifies her for the oil industry? Nothing. Did she study petroleum engineering? No. Is there not a professor of petroleum engineering in the university? Yes. Why didn't you call a professor of petroleum engineering? Why are you calling a tailor? I like her. And when the king likes you, it doesn't matter who doesn't. Are you listening to us? When kings like you, it doesn't matter. There's no board. If the president of this country, I don't care to know what's going on with Chibok, but trust me, that president has in his pen something that can shift the balance of equation in your life. If this president signs something and says to somebody they should give you a job, you're going to come back to church rolling on the altar because your life won't remain the same. How many of you would like to have a signature from the president? See. How many of you don't like him? But how many of you like his pen? I don't like the guy, but maybe the guy signed for my document. Amen. So when the king likes you, it doesn't matter who doesn't. Now the point is this. Sometimes in life, we are trying to score high with those who doesn't matter. And then we are losing grounds with those who truly matters. Somebody needs to tell me if it's okay for me to be going on. Because do you value what I'm sharing with you this morning? But let me stop. Let me prophesy. The cheapest thing for any pastor to do is to prophesy. When he knows he can deconstruct and reconstruct your thinking. The cheapest thing any pastor can do is to say, somebody's number is 0400. That's the cheapest thing anybody can do. Knowing numbers is the cheapest thing anybody can do. If you don't know how to get numbers, go to MTN. And if you don't know what's going on in the life of France, and demonstration of power is the cheapest thing to do. That was why in one night God demonstrated power. Pharaoh gave up, released the children of Israel. One night demonstrated power. And Pharaoh said, "Oh, bye-bye." In one night, God delivered people from 440 years captivity. 440 years captivity, people were set free. One night. But listen to this. When it came to changing the way they were thinking. Is it possible for somebody to be delivered and yet die miserably? Yes. Number two. Is it possible, Pastor, for somebody to have 24-hour miracle, moving the person from poverty to a multi-millionaire status overnight? Because that's what happened to Israel. Overnight, the Bible said they became so wealthy, they spoiled the Egyptians. Abject poverty-stricken people became multi-millionaires overnight. But because their minds could not be changed, they died with wealth. Because wealth does not change your mind until your mind can affect your wealth. See, I've learned a few things by interacting with few people, and I'm interacting with more. Keep pursuing money. I'll keep pursuing information that will change my mind. Give us the next 10 years, we'll see who is the different one. Some happen quickly, Some it takes time. I used to remember my younger sister Isaiah. I hope so. I used to remember Pastor. Those in the early days of my secondary school. Okay, Pastor Simpson, please, here was my junior secondary school then. Pastor, I used to have just one. You remember my wine trouser and my single sandals? My sandals were like, you know, have you seen the picture of the sandals the Israelites normally use? That looks like a basket. Weaved by basket. That's how my wine sandals. That sandals caught, it was broken under. God fixed it back. Amen. Wherever that sandals caught, there was always a way to fix it back. Because God made sure that it stayed for as long as it ought to stay. Now, a lot of my friends then were busy using the little money they have to buy clothes. I remember then my sister too came around one time, she was mocking me. Say, brother Sam, this is my sister. God will have mercy on her. Amen. Brother Sam, my sister, look at your trousers. I was having only one ash blue kind of trouser like that. Look at your trousers. I pressed that trouser onto you. Literally, there's no need for pressing. The gator, he appeared on his own. You know why, sir? At that period, Pastor, any little money I have, I'll buy books. I was studying. Then I also noticed among my Christian brothers in those days, you know some of them. I noticed among my Christian brothers that one thing that they were more peculiar about were books on power. Holy Ghost, power. And I read some of them. But I was reading books more that will shift the way I think. I kept on investing into it. Then one day I made a statement. I said, now you are buying clothes and I am buying books. I said, the day is coming when I'll be buying clothes, you'll be looking for books. And you know the funny part of it? I will never forget one of them. That time, sir, he was the only person amongst us. He had a gold wristwatch. Enter the stocking. And my wristwatch then was not wristwatch, it was a wrist clock. You can see. But I kept on investing into my mind. Have I stopped investing into my mind? No. I'm preparing for the next phase of my life right here. I have tasted and known that developing your mind is the best thing you can ever do on earth. Stop pursuing money. Stop wasting your time jumping from place to place. It's a reflection of the poverty of the soul. For you to be jumping from place to place, oh God, I need this anointing. It's a reflection of the poverty of the soul. How many Chinese people have you seen attending prayer meeting for financial breakthrough? How many Lebanese have you seen attending night vigil for financial breakthrough? I'm challenging the Africa status quo. Amen. Huh? Who are the most progressive people again? How many Singaporeans? Pastor, you know Joseph Prince is in Singapore. See, what is he teaching? Prayer or grace? And Singapore is one of the leading economies in the world. How did they get there? How many vigils took them there? How many prophetic services took them there? Developing the mind. Lee Kuan Yew, when it was time to develop his country, traveled from nation to nation looking for information. While he was looking for information, nations were busy relying on their oil, like our own Ghana, on their gold. And this man said, we don't have gold, we don't have oil, but can we develop what we have? Our people, let's develop their minds. Today, are you aware that Singapore is the one that has mentored China? A small country mentoring a massive nation. Singapore today renders service to nations of the world. Why? Highly developed minds. An average home in Singapore has 1 millionaire. An average home in Singapore has 1 millionaire. Why? Sound mind. It got to a point. Lee Kuan Yew
listen, nobody in Singapore should marry anybody who is not a graduate. Challenging everybody to go to school. Why? He knows that a developed mind is a developed nation. Why is our country having resources and yet we are poor? Because we have neglected the minds that should be developed, and we are developing oil, developing roads, but not developing those who will traffic on the road. The futility of a church is that we're raising people who can think. And I told you before that the realm at which money operates, real money, please, I'm not talking about this accidental money some of us make. The realm at which real money continues to operate is above the realm of the thinking of an average Christian. The realm at which real money operates. Praise God. Somebody was asking me recently, say, Pastor, thank you. Somebody was asking me recently, say, Pastor Sam, they invite you here, they invite you there. I said, have you ever heard that I applied? Have you ever heard that I applied? I said, I sit in my home. I walk my mind. And so I sat down gently in my house, I said, Pastor. And I just opened my mail then. The oil-rich city, 24th economy in the whole of the South American region, oil-rich Trinidad and Tobago. I just opened my mail and I just saw one of the most powerful churches there celebrating their 50th anniversary. Send me a mail that says, I would just want to plead with you to block so-and-so date. Because there's nobody else that should come to speak to us than you, sir. Please block the date. We will send you a formal letter. Block the date. Block the date. Now you are clapping. I'm only trying to remind you something. Were you here when I used to talk about Caribbean Islands? And I said I will go there, all expenses paid. Why are they calling me there? The guy has something to share with us. The next 10 years, the difference will be clear. The next 10 years. Look at your neighbor and say, better hang around me. Hang around me long enough. Because you may soon lose touch with me. Hang around me long enough. Praise God. All right. So the relationships are like elevators. Take you up, take you down. The right relationship lifts you up. The wrong ones, they take you down. Quality relationship begins by knowing who you are. To build quality relationships. Because don't forget, we're talking about relationship decisions that brings what? Promotion. Is that where Pastor John started with last week? Relation. That's what we're talking about all through the mornings. First service. You don't want to miss any of the morning service. Relationship decisions that brings promotion. Pastor John told you about helping others last week. Today I want to talk to you about building quality relationships. Not quantity relationships. I have 10,000 followers on Facebook and your life has not changed. You better just know you have 10,000 admirers. Pastor, people like you. Liking you does not mean changing you. Many of you are going on like you spend hours on Facebook. Say, like me now. Like me. As though liking you will translate it to something in your account. Healthy and quality relationship begins with knowing who you are. Wish I can talk more about that, but my time. Once you know who you are, then you can determine who you desire to step into your life. Many of us go into relationship hoping that the people we come into relationship with will tell us who we are. You are reversing the sequence. Know who you are and then determine who qualifies to be in your space. Maybe I should re-emphasize this. Please take note of this. Success in life is not determined by the quantity of friends you have, but the quality of friends you have. Success in life is not determined by the quantity of friends you have, but the quality of friends you have. Having many people around you is not as important as having meaningful people around you. I get plenty of friends, Papa. But anywhere I like, people, they like me. So I get plenty of friends. Having many people, write it down, please. Many. And if you can write many in an African way, please write many. Anyhow, having many people around you does not translate to having a meaningful life. So don't just go for many people, go for meaningful people. There is something called the law of selectivity. Mm-hmm. Write that one down. It's not a big English. Very simple one. Something they taught us somewhere. So they call it the law of what, sir? The law of selectivity. And that law is very simple. It says that you can't be a friend to everybody. Why? Because you are a scarce resource. Number two, you are a limited resource. That freed me. I didn't know. I thought I was an unlimited resource. And that everybody, I can be a give poured out to everybody. I didn't realize, Manus, I am a limited resource. That's the first thing I must tell myself. That there is no limit to what I can do, but I am limited in terms of how far I can go. I can't be in Ghana right now and be in Nigeria at the same time. So there's no limit to what I can do here, but there's a limit to how far I can go in life in terms of my geographic spread. And I'm speaking physically speaking. I'm not talking about internet presence. You are a limited resource. Let me look at somebody. You are a limited resource. The law of selectivity, you can't be a friend to everybody. Because you are a limited resource. So since you can't be a friend to everybody, decide to be intimate with a few. And those you're going to be intimate with, again, draw three cycles. The outer cycle, the inner cycle, and the core. And in your core, don't have more than three people. It's been proven that you cannot manage more than three in your inner core. But you can have 12 all together in your inner core, in the core, inner cycle, and your outer cycle. You can have 12. So I should be able to somewhere, I should be able to sit down and just think, my innermost core, people that I can have deep, intimate conversation with. People that I can talk to about things that really concerns me, my life, my destiny. I can quickly think, 1, 2, 3. Three names. And I know those who are in the inner cycle. The more you spread, the farther you go from the inner core, the more you limit what you share. Unfortunately for some of us, that's why Jesus said, you do not cast your pearls before swines. Unfortunately, many of us do not have what I call selective revelation when it comes to conversation. Or what they call selective dissemination of information. Is that okay? You talk to those who are not in the core, not in the cycle. You talk to people you meet on the street about things you should be telling those in the core. May God not let us be like ostrich who lay our eggs on the bare ground. May we become like eagles who know the sanctity of the eggs that God has given to us. And so we go to the highest heights where no eyes can reach and put those eggs there. There are things I share with you. There are things I can share with you. My pastors, there are levels of intimacy. Even though we're all pastors. There are people I'm not going to let go from my space for the next 10, 15 years in this house. Next 10, 15 years, the higher I go, there are people I'm not going to climb without them. Because if you understand the principle of Jonathan, as he was climbing up, there was one person he did not lose grip with. It is called Jonathan. Armor bearer. He said, look, everybody may not even know I'm climbing up, but you must be aware. Jesus climbing up to the mountain said, look, Peter, James, and John, the 12 may not know that ascension is taking place in my life, but you must be aware. You are not sent to everybody. Take note of that. Free yourself from trying to impress everybody. You are not sent to everybody. And you can't please everybody. You can be friendly with all, but not be a friend to all. You can be friendly with all, but not be a friend to all. Very quickly, let me just give you a few thoughts before I leave here in the next 5-7 minutes. How can you build quality relationships? How can you build quality relationships? Number one, apply what you call the law of purpose. Now listen, if you want to build quality relationship, apply the law of purpose, which states that you should decide, you should decide to pursue relationships based on similarity of purpose. You have no business in my core if what concerns you is different from the core of what concerns me. Today, many of you have to go back home and look at all the people you've gathered around you and ask yourself, maybe I should begin to apply the law of selection or selectivity. I need to move some people out of my inner space. I need to stop conversation with some people, minimize conversation with some people, and even completely eliminate some people, not even talk about whether I stop, minimize conversation with them, eliminate some people from my cycle. Decide to pursue relationship based on similarity of purpose. Don't pursue relationship because of similarity of preference or similarity of personality. He's a happy person. Yes, I like hanging around people like me who are happy. People who are happy like you may not make you happen in life. In reality, you need people who are different from you in order to succeed in life. One of the few people I hate, please permit me, I'm using that word hate in a very, very light sense, nothing serious. One of the persons that I don't like but love is my wife. I don't like her, but I love her. Why don't I like her? She's different. Why do I love her? I need her. You're going to find out in life that sometimes you need to learn to fall in love with people you don't like, but you need. And that's what makes the difference between mature people and immature people. Immature people keep on throwing out of their lives people they don't like, but need. And they keep surrounding themselves with people that they like because of their similar in personality. They keep surrounding themselves with people that they like, and that's why they remain where they are. Have you noticed that there are some people that if somebody advises you, Pastor, there are some people that can't come to my office. Somebody said to me, say, Papa, the reason why I don't want to come see you is because I know when I come, you are going to task me. That's my job. I'm not your buddy. I'm not your friend. I'm here to make you progress. You don't come around my space. I don't talk with you for too long. Something will be ignited inside you. You'll be challenged to do something different in your life. A young man met me in London and said to me, just last week, he said, Pastor, himself and his wife, to be, they came, and it's a big dream they want to share with me. And I love him. Wonderful brother. Great dream. He shared with me, he said, Pastor, this is a big dream I have. I'm planning to do something big. So I look at him, I said, come. But the combination of you and your wife to be, I brought out my purse. Thank you. I brought out my purse and I had some pounds in it. So I gave his wife to be. I gave her £100. And I said, give me 20 pounds. She gave me 20. I said, give me another 20. She gave me.
I said, give me another 20 pounds. She gave me. I said, I give you 40 pounds. She gave me. And I walked away. She was like, they were like, what's that all about? I said, you know what? I never demanded from you what I don't know I've deposited in you. I said, the dream you've just shared with me is the first installment that life is demanding from you. There's more on the inside of you. Don't sit down and celebrate this and spend the rest of your next 10, 15 years around something that is supposed to be the first 20 pounds that life is asking from you. There's still 80 on the inside. Many of you are dying around what assists to be an excitement in heaven. You are still celebrating what heaven has stopped celebrating. Because his mercies are what's new every morning. What is new today in your thinking? What is new today in the projects you want to carry out? Are you aware that once you stop pursuing projects, you stop attracting resources?
My time is, I'll stop. Whoosh.
So get people around you who share the same purpose with you. Be around people you don't like, but you need.
I called one of my senior mentors, very senior man of God in the city. I called him just about a week ago. I said, sir, the reason I've not come to see you, sir, during my birthday, he sent me gift. He sent me clothes, just one bundle of clothes. And so the next thing that were in the bag were books. Books on leadership I have never seen. Books on building organizations that will last. How to build schools, how to build hospitals, how a church can become industrial in approach. Man of God, just picking those books have shifted the balance of equation in my life. He didn't give me money, sir. Not money. He gave me what to produce money. He gave me well. It's not left for me to fetch what out of it. Some of you would rather come to your pastor and say, Pastor, can I get some money from you? He said, Pastor, can I get the books you read? And so I called him recently and I said to him, I said, sir, the reason I've not come to see you, sir, because I know if I come, you're going to ask me, what have I done with the books you gave me? He started laughing. He said, so Sam, you know. I said, sir, I know. I said, so I'm reading the books, and once I'm through with them, I'll come see you. I hate that kind of life. I hate that kind of lifestyle. That kind of life that puts a demand on you. And you know, many of us are like water, always looking for paths of least resistance, no stress. And many of us are saying, yo, this is the time to stress and stretch. So that in the latter days you can rest and smile. You are using your energy now to do nothing. I hope you will not wake up in your latter age to start working at 50. Sir, he will call me at 12:30 in the night. Now, you don't like that. Will you like that kind of friend? The first time I thought it was a mistake. He called me 12:30 in the night. And I picked up the phone because I'm awake at that time. So I picked up the phone and the next thing he said to me, is that Sam? How are you? I said, sir, daddy, I'm fine, sir. He said, I hope you are not surprised. I said, sir, I hope there's no problem, sir. He said, don't mind us. He said, village people like us, bush people like us. He said, that this is what we normally call people. And he said, so what are you doing now? I said, sir, I'm studying. I said, that's great. The next day, sir, 12:30 in the night again. On another occasion, 1 a.m. in the night. Little did I know, sir, that he was using that to determine how committed I was. Until the day he was going to open his mouth to say, Sam, my wife and I hold you in high esteem. I was sharing with my executive assistant today, Ken. I said to him, I was going to send him a message at about 2, 3 a.m. this morning. But I just had mercy on the boy. I said, this guy, let me not make somebody's son to just quench over. Because that's when I normally send him assignments to do Pastor John too. I send a message to carry out for me around 2, 3 a.m., 1 a.m., you know. So just, this is a good time. You know, the environment is cool. That's when to walk. Amen. A little sleep. A little slumber. A little folding of the hand. To join the crowd to sleep. So shall thy poverty come like an armed man. How many of you want to be multi-millionaires? Show me again. You will have this house. Amen. Okay. How many of you know how many hours millionaires spend to sleep? Wave your hands. Okay. Everybody raise their hand to be millionaire, but you don't know how many hours they sleep. Okay, now, can anybody tell me from the other side? So it's not Pastor Sam. How many hours? 4, 3, and during strategic planning, 3 days at a stretch, no sleep. Because you must go through documents and not have yourself messed up. During the development of policy documents, no sleep. That's why most CEOs are committed to coffee. To keep them awake to do enough work. What shall we say to a millionaire like you? That sleep, you sleep the normal sleeping hours and add working hours to sleeping hours. If millions enter your hands, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands, a millionaire will become poor because you don't have the culture of millionaires. You don't have the work ethics of millionaires. You want to be a mega church pastor? Go and hear how mega church pastors, the kind of discipline they have. You don't have such a discipline and you're hoping you're going to pastor thousands of people. When I heard of the discipline of mega church pastors, I became afraid. I said, God, am I sure I want what I'm asking for? Stand to your feet. I'll continue. Quality relationship. Father, I refuse to surround myself with fools. The companions of fools shall be destroyed. I refuse to be destroyed. Lord, let there be a shift in my relationships. In Jesus' mighty name.